All right. Thank you again for being here tonight. Does that sound all right? It doesn't sound good to me. Let me see if it is it up. Is it in the wrong spot? Or are you in the wrong spot? Can't be me. Must be me. How's that? Better? Okay, good. We are going to hold your Bibles there in Galatians. We're going to look at that in a minute. Thank you again for being here. I will say Friend Day is around the corner. And let's give a shout out to the Pacific class. They're doing good already. But of course, the best class is the Filipino class. They're doing fantastic. And they love God. And they're called according to his purpose. And so everybody else is getting started. We have about 100 contracts in the wall. By next Sunday, let's have 300. And that's not hard at all. Everybody inviting a couple people. What we need to make it successful is everybody participating. Everybody having somebody. You'd be shocked who would come if you would just simply invite them. And so I hope that you will do that. What, you know, in our society, if you are against something that that our society pushes, what do they accuse you of being? Anybody know that? I'm looking for a word. What? I guess you guys don't understand English. Okay, if you are against homosexuality, they call you a homophobe. They add the word phobe to it, right? If you don't agree with transgenderism, you are transphobic, okay? I don't know. It used to be if you were against something, you were anti that, right? You know, if you're against McDonald's, I'm anti-McDonald's, not pro-McDonald's. Anything with the word phobic at the end doesn't mean, really means that you are afraid of it, not that you are against it. And there's a lot of phobias people have. Phobia means an extreme or irrational fear of. Some of the most common ones are arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. How many of you are afraid of spiders? Everybody. See, all you do is step on them. I mean, you squish them. And then they're not spiders anymore. They're like flat insects. So I can't even pronounce this one. Ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. Why don't we just call it snakeophobia? Okay, it's like fear of getting bit. Cynophobia, fear of dogs. Astrophobia, fear of thunder and lightning. Good thing you live in California, right? We don't get that very often. So that one night a year we get it, just close your eyes and put your headphones on. Okay, I know people. Trypanophobia, fear of injections. Agoraphobia, fear of being alone. Here's one, fishophobia. Fear of eating fish. I have that one, okay? I'm scared to death. By the way, fishophobia is right up there with fordophobia, the fear of fords, unless you like to hitchhike. Now, tonight we're going to talk about a subject probably for a couple weeks. And it's related to technology. Now, when you're, you know, I'm not a technophobe. I do know people that are. They're like, I would never use technology ever, all that. And that's fine if you want to make work harder for yourselves. And I know some people that use technology, and they use it like in a 90s way. I'll go to a website sometimes, and I'm like, brother, okay, you know. There used to be a website called Wayback Machine. Anybody remember that? It would literally show you websites for like when they first came out like 30 years ago, you know, and it's really goofy looking. And I've been to some modern websites. I'm like, okay, you need to hire someone to fix that thing. I'm not a technophobe. I like technology. I bought into it right away because it's made working a lot better. I remember my first computer was an Atari. Okay, my mother-in-law gave it to me. And I don't even know if it had a hard drive. It had probably a small one, and it had the screen with the little C prompt, and you had to type everything in. And I remember while I was using a design program, like, okay, I was just trying to figure out how to use it, and it'd say, like, put this disk in if you want to do this. So it was like a piece, like 5.5-inch square piece of paper you'd slide in, and you'd start something, and it'd say, okay, now switch to this one. You have to pull that one out. How many of you ever experienced that? Okay, it's not like everybody else here isn't that old. Come on. We're not that old. Ryan Rawl even used it. I remember I was using it the first time, and I thought, okay, you can print your own banner. I thought that was fantastic. It took all night to print a banner that said, like, happy birthday. That was old school. The church's first computer was an Apple, the little square computer with the little tiny screen. It had a hard drive. Okay. A hard drive, 20 megabytes, not gigabytes. We're talking about as much space as it would take for one picture in my iPhone. Those were the days, weren't they? I had one of the early consumer cell phones, because we had our own business, and it had this. It looked like a boat. They called it the mini brick, a little gray thing. I'm colorblind. I think it was gray. And it had a little flip thing on it. The battery was so bad on that thing that you couldn't leave it on. And so I had the cell phone on this side, and I had a pager on this side. And now I'm really dating myself here. And the pager would go off, and I would turn on the phone real quick, make the phone call, then turn the phone off so the battery would last more than 20 minutes. And then I remember the first digital love of my life was the Palm Pilot. I loved that thing. You say, what in the world? It's here's what it was. It was this. It was a cell phone. And as soon as I do that, Dave Lucero usually texts me. It's a cell phone, but there's no cell phone coverage, no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth, a black and white screen. You had to use a plastic stylus, and basically it was a calendar and a to-do list, and you could hold it. I loved that thing. I really did. I got a lot done with it. But that was the dark ages. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to, it's scripturally based. It's a subject we face because it's here to stay, and it's a part of all of our lives. I'm not preaching against it. I'm going to talk if you wanted to categorize it, it's more about social media, and also it'll apply to technology. Fact of the matter is the principles we'll look at apply to how we communicate with each other. Because it's just principle. Everything we do should be governed by principle. Everything. And so I want us to do that. I want us to look at the verses here in Galatians for a minute. These are a springboard for the message. They're not the landing, landing strip. They're just a springboard. We're going to look at this because this teaches us a couple things about why we need it. The verses here in Galatians, as we began with verse number 16, it was speaking about two things in life. The first thing was it was teaching us about who is directing us in life. And when it comes to this portion of scripture, it talks about two ways we can be directed in life. Look at verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." And so when it comes to being directed in life, which is basically what we talked about this morning, the destination you arrive at is going to be determined by the path you're on, because the path you're on is directing you towards that destination. And so this is going to help us. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." We are either going to walk in the Spirit. The word walk is talking about the direction of life, how we live our life, how we make our decisions. We are either going to make them by walking in the Spirit. That's allowing God's Spirit through His Word to direct us and guide us each and every day. If we don't do that, if you'll continue in the verse, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," verse 16, "and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we'll either walk in the Spirit or we will fulfill fleshly lust. We will follow the desires, the unprincipled and the desires that we have in our heart. And by the way, as we saw this morning with the heart, it's deceitful and desperately wicked. We don't want to follow that. We don't want that leading and guiding us. And so if we're not walking in the Spirit, we're going to be living by the lust of our flesh. So these verses talk about who's directing us, and then it talks about the deeds in our life. There's two deeds we can do. We're either going to do the works of the flesh, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Work. And by the way, he's going to mention some things there. If we're following the lust of the flesh, then we're going to live our life by the works of the flesh, because the flesh is directing us. And when the flesh directs us, there's always some things. There's always a list of things that you're just going to naturally do. Things that are not spiritual. Things that are not right. But we have another option. We have the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is. And there's another list there. So who's directing you in life? Well, what are you producing in your life? That's the key. Now these two, the spirit and the flesh, are complete opposites. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 tells us that they are completely contrary to each other. Verse 17, for the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the spirit, I'm sorry, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Why? And these two are contrary one to another. There's nothing about them that go together. It just can't. They're just completely different. I heard a guy one time actually say when he was preaching, I don't think he understood what he was saying. He said, we preach too much about doing works in the flesh. And I'm thinking, huh? I don't think he understood it. I think it's something, sometimes we say things, it's like we don't catch it. The flesh is completely opposite of the spirit. They are contrary. Not just contrary, different. We're contrary, butting heads. So they're different. They're contrary to one another. That means this. A spiritual person would not live fleshly. It doesn't mean, like I mentioned, understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we're doing the right thing, and in a moment of weakness, we might step out of course with that, but then we get back in line. I'm not talking about that. But a person whose life is directed by the Spirit is not going to be characterized by living in the flesh. That's just not how it works. A spiritual person would not live fleshly, but if they're contrary to each other, a fleshly person will not live spiritually. Oh, they may come to church, they may do some things, but when you look at their life, you're not going to see a lot of spiritual stuff in it. You're not. Why? Because they're contrary. Not only are they contrary, if you look at verse 17, the last part of the verse, they are controlling. Verse 17, so they're contrary one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. I mean, they're fighting. So if you're a spiritual person and you're trying to do the right thing, but you're allowing the flesh to take over, you're not going to do spiritual things. Because the flesh is going to sit there and fight you at every turn. Now, also conversely, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have a better time not letting the flesh take over and push you the wrong direction. You're going to have a lot more victory. Not saying the flesh is ever weak. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. We don't underestimate our enemy. But I'll be honest with you. If you're prepared and ready to go the Spirit, it's a lot easier to overcome the flesh. And so that's what it's saying. A fleshly person would not do what a spiritual person should do. And a spiritual person will not do what a fleshly person would do. Also, if you look at these two, they're very, very clear. If you put those two together, a fleshly person does the works of the flesh, and a spiritual person will bear the fruit of the Spirit. What's the point, as this is all really introductory? We're in a constant battle. We are in a constant battle. And we must be very careful, we must be very diligent, and we must walk in the Spirit. A spiritual person would be on guard and be careful that they do not become entangled with things which would cause them to stray from their spiritual behavior into the area of fleshly behavior. Whenever a spiritual person starts to stray into the flesh, it's because they've allowed some things in their life, or they've not been very careful, and they put themselves or allowed themselves to get into a position where it will be easier to get into the flesh. That's the point. And not only is it a constant battle, let me say this, it's a battle we're constrained to fight. We are. If not, we're going to give in. Now, sometimes just those fleshly lusts that we have been struggling with, we start to head in that direction, it's going to start rearing its head, and it's going to rear its head in our actions. That's why he says, the works of the flesh are these. And you read that list. That's not the message tonight. You read the list. Those are actions and attitudes that are shown in actions. And that's a sign to us that we are headed in the flesh. Flesh always leads to actions. Understand that. If a Christian is starting to struggle and they're allowing actions or they're participating in actions and attitudes in their life that are contrary to someone who walks in the Spirit, they are starting to live by the flesh. The flesh is getting the upper hand. That's very important. Now, what is the key? Why does the flesh start to show itself? We start to lose the battle inwardly. And as we're fighting that battle to do right, here's the problem. The flesh can show itself, here's the key, because it has found an outlet. It's found an outlet. The struggle that we have inside that we are fighting and we're striving to win, as we allow ourselves to get into places or areas where there's an outlet for the flesh to show itself, the flesh gets stronger. It gets stronger. That's why, I'm going to give you an illustration, we don't believe in teenage dating. You know why? I know 25 and 30-year-olds that aren't ready for a relationship. Come on, let's just be real here. Ain't no 17-year-old ready for a relationship. Be a teenager. Enjoy being a teenager. Enjoy it. That didn't go over very well. That's okay. That's okay. But I'll tell you what. I don't want them dating as teenagers, but I also don't want them not liking the opposite gender. That's a big issue. But what happens when you start to date at that age, now if you're not careful, you have found an outlet for those things in the flesh to be able to manifest themselves. You know, don't be dating a girl if you're a guy in high school, but if you don't want to date a girl, that's an issue too. But there's an outlet there. And so that's what we're saying. We need to be careful. And let me say this. That is the temptation of technology and social media. It gives us, if we're not careful, it gives us an outlet for the flesh to rear its ugly head, and it gives us a way for the flesh to manifest itself. It's amazing. It can give an outlet for the flesh to react because we're hiding behind the privacy of a keyboard or a cell phone screen. And by the way, it's not just an outlet, we give it an ally. Now, someone has said, and I agree with this, social media may not make you what you are. I think it can help push you because it's an outlet, but for dead sure, it reveals who you are. Reveals where you are. Now, I'm going to go over some principles. Let me just say this up front. I have Twitter. I like Twitter. It's informational. I have a Instagram account. I thought I deleted it a year and a half ago when all this stuff where they were where they started to censor people. I got mad and I just deleted it. I'm glad I got off Facebook, by the way. I know you like Facebook. That's fine. But someone's like, you still have it. And I have it. I don't look at it. I'm going to tell you why. Can I tell you why? Twitter's more informational, Joseph. You know that. Because I don't want to get a bad spirit about people I know and the stuff they post. I'd rather not see it. And I'm sure, and I can say this because I'm not looking at your Instagram stuff. You know, you see some nonsense and you see someone walk by and like, what was that all about? I don't want to do that. Okay? So I want to have a good heart, and I think you all are fine. That's fine. And I'm not against Instagram if you use it right, or any social media if you use it right. And I'll say this, it's not the message yet, but like, you don't need the newest thing. Discord and, you know, I don't know what the next one's going to be. You know, maybe MySpace is going to make a comeback. Yeah. But old school. Is MySpace even around? It's like, no. Hopefully they weren't belly up. Here's the point. The battle between the flesh and the spirit is a constant one, but it is fought on many different playing fields. And some of those playing fields are a little bit harder than others. And that's the areas, all areas we need to be careful. Don't get me wrong. But those are the areas we need to be the most careful. But it must be fought. By the way, let's just give you this. This will help you. Galatians gives us the key to fighting the flesh. Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. There's the key right there. Because we are Christ, we're to crucify the flesh. We're not to give into it. Those things of the flesh are to be killed. Those desires, that's why we're a new person in Christ. The things we used to do, the things I was involved with before, now that I'm saved, I don't have to live that way. The flesh doesn't have to dominate my life. Because I'm saved, because the Spirit of God lives in me, I'm supposed to crucify the flesh, not kill it. Well, brother, I'm strong enough to handle it. Let me just say this. No, you're not. You are not. I'm not. Nobody is. Men that are 1,000 times stronger than I ever was spiritually, I've heard and I've seen them fall into things. And I don't say, oh, they must not have been a good Christian. I'm thinking, I better walk straighter. Don't, the second you start trusting in your flesh, you're done. The second you start thinking, I got this thing nailed down, you're done. We're supposed to crucify the flesh. We're not supposed to see how close we can get to it and how much we can play with it. He also tells us, because we are Christ, we are to live in the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also, what's that word? Walk. You know what walk means? How you live your life. Don't tell me, and I'm getting off here, and I'm getting away from the message, but it's all good. Don't tell me you're in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is driving your life if you're not living like it. I'm tired of this charismatic Christianity that's in our society where everybody loves Jesus, the Spirit's speaking to them, and they go out and they live like the devil. And that's not the problem. The problem is they don't see anything wrong with it. If you're walking in the Spirit, you do something wrong, what happens? You get convicted. Oh, my soul. How could I do that? By the way, if you don't say that, sometimes you're a far better Christian than you need to come see me. I need what you have. If there's not times in your life when it's like God says, he doesn't say, I was going to say, hey, doofus. God doesn't say that. You know, like, hey, what was that all about? What's going on with you? He doesn't say it like that. You know what I'm saying? Then you know, we're not perfect. But that's God saying, hey, I'm working with you here. But people that can say they live in the Spirit, the Spirit's speaking to me, and they'll speak in tongues and all this stuff that's not scriptural, and then they go out, they're no different than their unsaved neighbor, I question that. Why? I don't know. The Bible just says if you live in the Spirit, you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Now, this is to apply in all areas of our life, even technology. As I mentioned, I'm not a technophobe, but I am rationally fearful of what it can do in derailing a Christian. I say it over and over, and I'm not, and the purpose of this message and probably next week is not to hammer us. Although you say, man, that sounds like you were hammering us. I'm just passionate. No. It's to help us. Because I think if we apply some of these principles that I'm gonna give over the next 2 weeks, I think it could fix a lot of what we're doing. And by the way, these principles are just principles of Christianity. Some of you that are here are like, I don't do social media. Branch, what you told me the other day, Branch comes to me, I was talking in the workers' meeting, I'm like, hey, let's be careful with social media. She's like, Pastor, she has such a great spirit. She's like, Pastor, is texting social media? I'm like, no, it's not social media. It's like, she's good though, right? You're good. But I'm saying, you know what, it's not social media, but can I just tell you something? Even with texting, we can violate principles of Scripture. Just talking to each other. We can violate principles of Scripture. How do you know? I've done it. Okay? Thank you for sharing, Brother Ross. So here's the point, and we're going to get into the first point of the message, and then that's it. Social interaction is just a part of being human. It always has been. We communicate, right? And over the course of time, it's changed. You know, the printing press was revolutionary. Now you can print books. You didn't have to kill an animal, skin it, write it, and you only got one copy. Now you can get multiple copies. And then you just go on and on. The telephone, the very first one, not the cell phone. How many remember how many still have a landline? Come on. How many of you? Look, we have to have, honey, we have to have one because we have a daycare. I don't even know the phone number. I don't. So I'm like, what's your home phone number? I'm like, I have to open up my thing and look at it because I have no clue. We don't use it. But remember the one with like the wire that was 20 miles long so you could go into your room and use it? How do you know that? Okay, good. That was revolutionary. And now it's the reality of the cell phone. I have a cell phone and I use it. And I'm thankful for it. But I'll say this, the cell phone has done a lot of damage to social interaction. You and I all see it. You go out to eat somewhere with your spouse, and you sit there, and you're talking, and you look at other families that went out to eat, and everybody at the table's on their cell phone. Now look, I'm not a tightwad, John, but I'm thrifty. I'm thinking if you're just gonna sit on your cell phone, let's go to Taco Bell. It's a lot cheaper, and if you are struggling with constipation, it'll help with that. Okay, you know, it's all good. But it's like, why waste your money? The reason you go to a nice restaurant is to be with one another and to communicate. By the way, sometimes in the house, and I'll joke, I'll do it. Sometimes I'll come and our kids are always there and they're all sitting on their phones in the living room checking, and I'll say, hey, let me go get my phone. I'll come out and hang out with you guys, okay? And it's not bad, you know, but we're getting to this thing where everything is this. I drove by a high school one day, and I'm seeing the kids get out, and they're all walking, and they're walking like this. By the way, I love those videos. Someone sent a video where people are at the mall, and they're on their phone, and they walk right into a fountain. I love that, okay? That's great. I haven't done that yet. Pray for me. That's a problem. Because our social interaction is now being driven by technology. So for better or for worse, it's here. Now, understand this. And this is the key. Just because you use technology or the latest social media app doesn't mean that you can violate the principles of Scripture when it comes to how we socially interact with one another and how we treat one another. So if I would never go to Blanche and talk mean to her or say mean things to her face, why is it okay to go on social media and blast her? Well, what is it? Gaslighting, throwing shade? I don't know what the newest phrases are. You know, we used to just say, like, nuking them. Just throw a bomb, everybody's dead, we all move on with our life. Why is it okay just because I'm behind a screen? That's my wife, God bless her. Now, also, let me say this, or why do we allow our morality to change because we're behind it? Now, as we get into the first principle, we go back to the verses in Galatians. Both the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, are followed by list. The fruit of the Spirit is a list of characteristics and qualities that will naturally be exhibited in our life as a result of our walk with God or by walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit and we are trying to grow in our faith, there'll be a natural positive fruit. If I could let you testify, if I said, you testify that what has God done in your life since you started serving the Lord? Many of us would say, you know, I used to struggle with this attitude in my life and I kind of got over that. Not permanently, but you know what I'm saying. I used to have issues with this and God's helped me to get that a little bit under control. You know what that is? That's walking in the Spirit. And you'll exhibit those things. And I say it over and over. Joy, peace, I'm in on all that, but those other ones, long-suffering, meekness, that's not me. I don't have time for that. But if I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to be able to exhibit those character. They're going to be part of who I am because of the Spirit of God. But on the other hand, the works of the flesh or sinful qualities that are a natural result of giving into the lust of the flesh and allowing it to guide us in a particular situation. If you're getting on social media and blasting people and saying things that are just anti-God and anti-Christian, don't tell me you're walking in the Spirit. Now, that's not to say sometimes we don't want to blast, amen? Someone says something, it's like, man, I just, what? That flesh rears its head. You got to say, calm down. That's not the right thing to do. Be very careful. So what principles of character should we follow as we use technology and social media? I'm going to give us one tonight. We'll finish up next Sunday with just the principles. Here's the first one. And by the way, let me say this. Brother Gray was at our singles retreat, and he had a little article, and I read that, and there was a couple things in there I wanted to use, and I asked him if I could, and so he's been a help with this, and I've studied a bunch of other things. So here's one. Very simple. You ready? The principle of glory. Okay? Flip your Bibles over. We're done with the flesh. We're done with Galatians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is the verse we'll look at. Each of these principles, I'll have verses for you, but this one right here, if we get this one, we'll be good. We'll bypass a lot of nonsense. We just really will. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we all know it. I think in 2014, it was the theme of our church for the year. Whether therefore you eat or drink, and he was teaching about something, but he's going to give the overlying principle that regulated what he was talking about, and really it regulates everything in our life. Whithersoever therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. This is the baseline principle of Christianity. Everything we do should be done to the glory of God, or specifically done to glorify him, or done so that, or not done so that we don't bring glory to him, right? I mean, it's like we want to bring glory to God, so that's the tenure of my life. There's things I should do, and I want to do it for his glory and for him, but there's other things I don't want to do because that would dishonor him, but because in our society, by de facto, they see us as representations of God. And I don't want to give God a bad name. So this far-reaching principle, the principle of glory, doing everything to the glory of God, applies to every aspect of life. And if that is true, tell me why it wouldn't apply to our social media and technology use. You can't. But yet the average person acts like it doesn't apply. It's amazing how we get on social media or you start using technology, and we completely forget about our Christianity. We just do. It's like we become a whole, it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. How many of you know what that story is? Yep. By the way, who was the bad one? Nowadays, it'd probably be the doctor. I don't know. Probably the doctor was a good guy. Okay. It's like, good guy. And the next thing you know, he's this crazy maniac. It's like, we love Jesus, I got my Bible, I got my fish shirt on, I got the bumper sticker on the car, and then we get on social media, it's like, Jesus who? Come on now. Let's be very careful about that. I don't know. You're a Christian when you're on your cell phone. You're a Christian when you're using technology. That's very important. It's like as soon as we start tapping with our fingers, we check out on God. Okay? That ought not to be, brethren. Very important. Social media is based on the premise of communication and connection to one another, right? This little list right here I got from Brother Gray. Social interaction is based on three elements. We interact through communication. We get information from one person to the next, don't we? By the way, that's why I like Twitter. And I'm careful with that too, because I want to know what's going on in this world. Not that way. You know, what's going on, but not too much. I used to, when I first got on there, I'm like, all right, Fox News and all this stuff, and I'm like, I ain't got time for this. And every time I read it, I just got madder and madder and madder. There's a couple I watch, so I know what's going on, but I follow a lot of churches, I follow a lot of pastors, I want to hear good news. Hey, we had this happen in our church, and I'm like, there you go. That's what I want, encouragement, and things of that. People get on social media and they interact with their communication, they make statements, they have discussions, they have comments, and I don't get on social media. Some pastors do. They want to argue about everything and rip. That's not my purpose. Okay? Now I'm not gonna back down on that, but that's not my purpose. I want good stuff going on. We also interact through categories, right? We have our interests, whether it's political, Christian, moral. Some people get on there because they want the sensual stuff. Some of y'all want to see the newest fashion. You want to know what drama is going on. Usually just look inside our own houses. We'll find a lot of that, amen? We want to know how our sports teams are doing. Well, let me explain that to you. If you're a Raiders fan, really bad. And if you're a Rams fan, really bad. And if you're a Chargers fan, they need to fire that guy. Anyhow, it's for those of you that in the know. Entertainment, our hobbies. And then we interact through associations. We interact with people we know directly or indirectly. Now, here's the whole point of it. Those things are all good. They're all communication. But as Brother Gray pointed out in his article, there's one glaring missing ingredient in social media. You know what it is? A leader. An overseer. Someone to keep us in check. You know the verse in Judges. It's mentioned several times. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Okay, so there's no king. Here was the result. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Whenever we don't have an authority in our life, we do what we want. Now, I'm not harping because I taught on this several weeks ago on Thursday. Where did that philosophy come from? Satan. You be your own God. You be your own king. And when we get on, and it's, this is any area of life, but we're talking about social media and technology. Whenever we get on there and we see ourselves as the authority, we see ourselves as the last word, we're going to say ignorant things. We are. And we're going to do ignorant things. And we're going to blow people up. And we're going to be non-Christian. The way it works. By the way, in a business, you have to have a leader. Well, you know, let's just start this company and we'll have 25 leaders. Here's a word for you: bankruptcy. Someone's got to be in charge. Someone's got to be driving the bus and putting the principal. You know, we don't like principals. You can't, our schools sometimes, I know you don't like the rule book, and not all those things are scripture, not all those things you have to live for the rest of your life. It's a school situation, okay? So don't nitpick at me. But it's like, you know, we have to have that. Well, you want to have one rule? Show up. Okay, show up with what, a gun? Show up dressed like ridiculous? Show up, come on, you have to have, there has to be guiding principles in life. And social media, there isn't. Our society needs rules. Now, unfortunately, we don't have them. And you know we need them in spirituality as well. Social media is a world where there is no king. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. But here's the point for us. Here's the whole point. We do have a king. We do have a leader. We do have a ruler. His name is Jesus. And if everything I'm supposed to do is to bring honor and glory to him, I'm not going to get onto social media and pop off and say things that are godless. I'm not going to get on, by the way, and we're going to go over all of them. I don't want to say, I could say a bunch right there, but I'm going to give you the principles next week and see where we violate them. But we get over there and we just blow up and we blew all this stuff and it's anti-God. And by the way, you read stuff on social media and you assume it's true, which is complete ignorance. When someone's, I will say this, I feel led. When someone's critical, don't just listen to what they say. Why don't you talk to the other people? Give them that shot. You know, they're always like this. How do you know it's true? Have you talked to the other person? Or you just crucify them without talking to them? But the point is, there's no king. And we get ourselves in trouble. We have a leader. His name is Jesus Christ. That would get rid of a lot of nonsense. Understand this. The motivation for our lives is to do what we quoted in 1 Corinthians. Bring honor and glory to God. Now, let me just say this. That doesn't mean every post has to be a verse. And I know, wow, we ate at a great place, and I was so glad to be able to go out with my family. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? You're trying to, but you know, all this stuff. By the way, the little selfie thing, really? Really? No one wants to see what you look like in 25 different dresses, guys. Girls. You know. Me in front of the mirror, me wearing black, you know, me wearing purple, or Brother Ross, me wearing pink, whatever. It's to the glory of God. I'm being facetious. He does like pink, though. You know why we were created in the first place? Bring honor and glory to God. Revelation 4, verse 9 to 11, this is a scene in heaven. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks unto him that sat on the throne who liveth forever. And the 24 elders, and I won't go over this, we preached through Revelation, that's talking about the Christians that were there, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, here we go, last phrase of verse 11, and for thy pleasure they were created. We were created for him. Amen. We were created to give honor and glory to him. Now that should be the overarching principle of our life. If our life is to give glory and honor to him, then we're going to do things that give glory and honor to him. Our love for him should also cause us to regulate what we do in our life. What did Jesus say in John 14:50? If ye love me, what? Our love for God is to result in a specific action, obedience to what he says. And if you get on, if you do anything in life, and that includes social media, and you get on there and do something on social media, like something on social media, or promote something on social media that is disobedient to Jesus, then you really aren't loving him. And you are not bringing honor and glory to him. Very careful. And also, for the name of Christ, we are to do that. We do everything we do is for that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell, live in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father. By the way, those are the two areas we violate on social media. Word, the things we're saying, the things we're promoting, and deed, the pictures that show, phrases that show disobedient and obedience, disobedience and obedience to God. I'm telling you. Why is it that we're allowed? We're not. And I don't know what it is. Is it the anonymity of the whole thing? I don't know. But I know this. We can't just check our Christianity at the door when we go online. That's not how it works. We're to do everything for his name. If we would, look, and by the way, he also says, here's another oucher for all of us. We ought to be able to thank him for it. Hey, next time you post something, I want you to read it and say, can I thank God for what I just said? Man, I feel bad. I got to calm down here because turn the speakers off here. I don't want to hear it. That's tough because we all violate that, don't we? And it's something we need to think about. Are we glorifying God in our uses of technology and specifically social media? Can I glorify him in the things that I see? Can I glorify him in the things that I say? Can I glorify him in the things that I like? Can I glorify him in the things that I follow, that I believe, and that I'm learning? This is the key. If you live to honor and glorify God, even with your technology and social media, then here's what will happen. All that I do will be protected. I'm going to protect myself from what I shouldn't be seeing and what I shouldn't be saying. All that I do will be purposeful. See, we get upset with somebody. We had a couple of people, I want to be sensitive with this, a couple of years ago. And I had kind of authority a little bit there. And they're going back, on a post, they were going back and forth. And as the pastor with that, I DM'd them. I said, hey, stop this. If you guys have an issue, talk to each other. Take this stuff off of the, this looks bad. I said, it's okay to have a disagreement, but not publicly. I said, God, just let this thing go and talk to each other and work this out. And they did, to their credit. But it's like, why would we do that? It's not the purpose. All that I do would be praiseworthy. All that I do would be principled. You know, we talk about, you know, I have certain things I believe in the Bible, and I have convictions on it, and then we get on social media and we're like, hey, everything's free. No. Principle. The principles apply. All that I do will be profitable, and all that I do will be proportioned. In other words, it's going to be controlled. I'm not going to be out of control with these things. I'm almost done. Understanding and living by the principle of glory will do much to help us live a controlled and committed life of spirituality. Let me quote a couple of verses and I'm done. Jude 25, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Philippians 1:11, be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. Now, I'm going to talk about a few things next week, and please come back. It's just principles of living that we can apply to social media and life. But let me say this. If we got this one down, we're done. We're done. And not just social media. It's all of our life. Is our life really to honor and glorify God? Can I look at every, and by the way, we all need a range, we all need a check out on that one, right? Come on now. They didn't turn the speakers off. I can hear myself. But if we would just live to honor and glory of God, and we would think before we say something, we would think before we click the send button. I've done it. I'll be honest with you. I've done it. Where I want to say something or all this, whether it's an email or something, I'll type it out, and I'm like, man, I can't send that. I feel good about setting it up, though, right? Man, I get on my thing, and I don't type. I got dictation on my. That's the best thing that ever was invented, by the way. And I'm dictating this long paragraph. I'm going to send an email, and I'm like, I'm ready to go, and I'll read it one more time. And next thing you know, I send one sentence. But man, I felt better when I was dictating it. Now, I will say this. There are times when I have hit send. And then I'm like, you know, that one shouldn't have went. You know, that was, I said what I wanted to say, but maybe I didn't say it in the right way. Come on, don't look at me. You don't have halos on your head. You got horns too. Okay? But is it to glorify God? If we'll glorify God, we'll glorify God in everything that we will do, that we do, and that would include our social media usage. That would include how we use technology. That will include how we use this. And it'll help us. It's like a self-regulator. It's like self-accountability. And I hope that we do that. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a second. I want a couple minutes longer. I'm sorry. Let's all stand together this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, I hope you understand this. I am not coming from the mindset of get off of it. How many, you understand that, right? I'm saying if we live like a Christian, we'll do the right thing. Now, I do understand this. I've had people that come into my office before and they've struggled with their technology, and I'm like, do you really want my help? I always, by the way, if I ever tell you that, that means something's coming you're not going to like. I said, do you really want my help? And they're like, yep. I'm like, tomorrow, you go down and get rid of your phone and get a flip phone. It's the only way you're going to make it. But for most of us, we just need to be careful. Be careful. It's out there. And by the way, once it's in the digital world, it's out there for good. It's out there for good. So we need to be careful. Let's do everything we do to the glory of God. Not just social media. How we interact with one another. And when we violate that principle, let God work in our lives to correct what we've done. Because we're not going to naturally always be right, but we can be right a lot more often if we remember God in everything that we do. God spoke to you tonight. Why don't you come? Not against technology. I get a lot accomplished because of it. Maybe you're here tonight, and I know the message was a different thing. You cannot glorify God unless you're one of His children. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die tonight, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? If you're here tonight and you're like, Pastor, I know the message wasn't on this, but if I were to die tonight, I am not 100% for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me with no one looking around? Would you just raise your hand real quick and I'll pray for you? Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that at all?